Crown him with many crowns. Heavenly Father, as we come to look at your word today, may that be something that, as we see in these words, may be something that we proclaim in this church and in our everyday lives. The Lamb who is slain, the one who is crowned for eternity. Amen. Please be seated. If you're a sports fan, then this weekend is full of choices. If you're a golf fan, then you may well have been glued on the radio, on the television, or via the social media to the Ryder Cup. Will Europe manage to come from behind and to beat America? Very exciting. If you're a GAA fan, you may well have been glued to the All-Ireland replay yesterday. Mayo versus Dublin. Then, of course, there is the Premier League. There is the Pro 12 in rugby. Then, of course, this summer, we had the Olympics, we had the Paralympics, and we had the European Football Championships. My goodness, lots of sport around if you are a sports fan. And, of course, the aim is to win, isn't it? To be victorious, to wear the medal, to lift the cup, to say that we're the winners. Of course, it's not just in sport. You see that if you're a movie fan or a music fan, then equally you rejoice in the IFTAs, the BAFTAs, the Emmys, the Oscars, the Golden Globes, and all those different things that are given to those who are the winners. And of course, it's not just on the world level that we celebrate sport. I'm the rector of Killincare and the rector of Virginia, as you know. And two of those teams are playing in county finals. Hot stuff in this part of the world. And then on a local level, if we are a baker, there's nothing like putting something into the Virginia show. Maybe if we're good at growing veg, how many did you win this year, Pearl and George? 11 out of 17. So you know over the years what it's like to get the winner's rosette. It's a good feeling, isn't it?
Yes.
Celebrating. And of course the check that comes a couple of months later as well. Not bad in it all either. If you're good with your hands, you can take a piece of wood and through work you can make something beautiful. Lots of different ways that we can enter and celebrate. And of course, after the victory, there is that moment of celebration, isn't it? When we welcome the winners. When we celebrate as a nation, or a community, or as a family, or whatever. When we celebrate the victory. Of course, that doesn't happen by chance. To win the gold medal, you have to put in the hard work. To win the vegetable award, or the cake award at the show, you have to put in the hard work. When I played rugby, the coach used to say to us, no pain, no gain. No guts, no glory. And so as we build that picture up in our mind, that's what I want us to bring into this text, Revelation chapter 5. Celebrating the victory. Celebrating the victory. Up until this point, we have been setting the foundation. Revelations written by John, one of the disciples, and he has been given a vision by God to communicate some of the things that God will bring to pass in time. And last week we were given a privileged access as John is brought into the heavenly places, a glimpse into what lies for the believer in eternity with God. And as John went to that heavenly place, he saw a throne, a wonderful throne, on which all the company of heaven was gathered. And it reminded us last week that as we come to this communion service, we say these words, that as we worship with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, all those that we've loved and lost and in faith have left in the Lord's hands. That as we come and worship, it's not just an earthly thing, but we are lifting our hearts to the heavenly places. And so that's where we pick up in our passage. John continues to be in that heavenly realm. And as he sees and looks around, he notices another thing in heaven. So now would be a good time, if you have the weekly sheet or the Pew Bible, just to follow along. And as I've been trying to do, I'm trying to just pick out a few things for us about what John writes down in these pages, this book of Revelation, to explain some of the symbols so that we can get a deeper sense of what John is communicating. So as John looks around this remarkable heavenly scene, he comes across someone who is sitting in God's right hand. And he describes the scene. And as we pick up in verse 1, we realize that it's a scene of pain. It's a scene of great heartache and disappointment. And this is what John writes. He says, "I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break and open the seal?'" Now, symbolically, the seal and the scroll that John talks about is highly significant. It talks about human sin. It talks about judgment before God. And so as we pick up that symbolism, we hear the angels say that no one is worthy before God. No one is worthy to stand before God because of sin, because of their humanness. And what's John's reaction? If you notice there, as we travel on from verse 1, you notice that John begins to weep. My goodness, he's heartbroken. No one is worthy to stand before God. Not him, not anyone in all of creation. And John begins to weep. He begins to realize how hopeless that situation is. No one is worthy. But just before we get too despondent, comes verse 5. And verse 5, as they say, is a game changer. Gosh, how the Europeans today, if you're following the Gulf, will be looking for a game changer. Well, this is the game changer. As John weeps, one of the elders, and you can imagine him almost putting his arm around him. He doesn't, but you could almost imagine that. He says to John, "Don't weep. Don't be heartbroken. See, the Lion of Judah, from the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals." Don't be heartbroken, John, because someone has already done something that makes us worthy. Who does it talk about? Well, in the Old Testament, we hear those 2 descriptions as descriptions of Jesus. In the New Testament, the Lion of Judah. During Christmas, we will read readings that talk about Jesus as being a descendant of David from the root of Jesse. And so this verse points straight to Jesus. He is the one who is the answer to human pain, to sin, to evil, to suffering, and to judgment by God. Then in verse 6, we read one of the most symbolic verses in all of Scripture. As the elder says to John, "Don't weep," this is what he writes. "Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne." It's such a wonderful image, and yet it's heartbreaking. It brings us back to the time when the people of Israel were freed from Egypt, when they took on a blemished lamb and slaughtered it and put the blood over their door so that the angel of death would bypass. And of course we know, and we'll say it in this communion service, that it points to an even more special lamb, an even more special description, that this time what John sees is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain. The Lamb of God who was slain to save God's people, to bring them and make them worthy before God. And as I say, from these verses, we read that they're a game changer. The pain that John experiences dissolves. And as he lifts his head and looks around again, he realizes that actually those who are around that throne are celebrating. They're celebrating an amazing and a wonderful victory. These words speak of a new song. a new song of hope and a new song of freedom about the one who has overcome sin and judgment. John's weeping in a moment turns to celebration. And again, we see this underlined in verse 9. As I say, do follow along. We see John write that Jesus is worthy to take the scroll and to open the seal because you were slain, pointing to the cross. And then these amazing words, with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nations. Because of the cross, because of Jesus slain on the cross, by faith, with renewed hope, with a new sense of celebration, every tribe and every nation, every language and every people, by faith, believers can come and be worthy before God with your blood. It's because of the efforts of Jesus, not because of our own efforts, not because of anything that we've done in this place, that we by faith can come as winners. We don't have to go through that pain. We don't have to go through all those early mornings and late nights that all the athletes and all those who are searching and seeking earthly winning. Because of Jesus, we are part of the celebration by faith. It's a wonderful thing. And as this passage comes to a close in verses 11 to 13, we see John witnessing all those who have gone to the heavenly places, all angels and archangels and all those who are there, singing and celebrating around the throne, celebrating the victory. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And again, I don't want to over-explain these words because they speak for themselves. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb comes praise, honor, and glory and power forever and ever, for all of eternity. A way opened by faith to God, a way to join the celebration. It's a wonderful moment to savor. It's a wonderful moment to celebrate Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And as we gather each Sunday, as we come together in this communion service, that's what we will do around this communion table. We will celebrate victoriously the Lamb who was slain, the one who makes us by faith worthy to stand before God. As we come and celebrate communion, we are celebrating victory out of pain. We are laughing in the face of sin, and we are saying Jesus has won. We are laughing in the face of death, and we are saying Jesus has won. We are laughing in the face of the devil and evil, and we are saying Jesus has won. As we celebrate here, and as we go back to live our lives, whatever that may be for us, that we bring that victory, that we bring that celebration by faith with us every single day. There's so much in this passage. There is so much truth. There is so much to celebrate. And as we think of its words, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, every time the people of God meet, whether it's on a Sunday or whether it's any other time during the week, it's a time of celebration. A time of celebrating victory. Not only the victory of Jesus on the cross as he rises from death, as he ascends into heaven to sit on the right hand of God. But we celebrate that we, through faith in Jesus, are worthy to stand before God. And so today we celebrate the victory of the Lamb who was slain, whose blood was shed for us, so that we can live with confidence and hope every day of our lives. And I pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.